This is Focus with Emma Griffiths on ABC Radio Brisbane.
It's a free country, right? Well, think about this. Are you free to express your religious beliefs? Are you free to live without the beliefs of others affecting your well-being? And then, what if the person expressing those beliefs is a stunning athlete, worshipped for their prowess on the field? This is The Dilemma, presented by the deeply religious rugby star Israel Folau, when he said that people who are homosexual will go to hell.
This is not a simple issue. This is a difficult issue when you think you're trying to combine religious beliefs, freedom of speech, inclusion, respect, and the use of social media. When you try and bring all those things together, that's a very difficult place for this to be.
And Rugby Australia CEO Raelene Castle's in that difficult place. And then there are the concerned sponsors and Folau's looming contract renewal.
We're in a negotiation with Israel to extend, and we'd really like him to stay in rugby. That's hugely important to us. He's a great player. He's, you know, delivered some great outcomes for us, and, you know, has been a really strong role model in the Pacifica community. And we would like to see that he stays in rugby, but we also know he's an athlete that is in demand, and there's going to be other people looking to try and move him. So we'll certainly be putting our best foot forward to make sure he stays in rugby.
Oh, so what does that leave you with? Whose right prevails? The right to state what your religion has taught you, or the right to live without someone telling you that you're going to go to hell? What do you reckon? 1300 222 612 to call in, to text. It's 0467 922 612. A really interesting conversation already happening about this on Facebook, the ABC Brisbane page, and you can post your thoughts there as well. You can email focusbrisbane@abc.net.au.
Focus with Emma Griffiths on ABC Radio Brisbane.
Whose right prevails? The right to free speech, to freedom of religion, or the right to live without persecution? The number again, 1300 222 612. First, a bit of background with Jacob Roebuck, our social media producer. Jacob, what happened first?
Yeah, so look, this isn't the first time that Israel Folau has spoken out against same-sex marriage or gay people in general. September 17th last year, obviously, when same-sex marriage was a really topical issue in Australia leading up to the legalization of same-sex marriage, he tweeted out saying, "I love and respect all people for who they are and their opinions, but personally, I will not support gay marriage." So that went out to his 121,000 Twitter followers in September last year, and then obviously it's re-hit the headlines in the news early this week when he was replying to a comment on someone on his Instagram page. Mike_Stefton asked him, "What was God's plan for gay people?" To which he replied, "Hell, unless they repent for their sins and turn to God." So it's sort of speaks for itself. His opinions are obviously very out there, and that's why we're talking about it today. But we need to look at the fact that he doesn't have a small social media following. He's got.
When you say out there, Jacob, you mean as in he's reaching a lot of people.
He's reaching a lot of people. Sorry, yeah, it's out there. He's reaching a lot of people. He's got 339,000 followers on Instagram. So it's quite a number of people. So sort of that's it. And it's that question there as well of what's going to happen with Rugby Australia. Are they going to be doing anything about it? That's the question we asked on Facebook. And Yeah, sort of really walking that line between what is free speech, what is hate speech.
And since he said that as well, he's copped the criticism and he's come back quoting some verses from the Bible, hasn't he?
Look, and I don't think that's necessarily out of the normal. Having a look back through his Twitter and Facebook pages this morning, that seems to be something that he does quite frequently anyway. But look, he hasn't really spoken on the topic of gay people, gay marriage since then. So obviously he's having chats with Rugby Australia, his contract and what's going to happen in the future. So I suppose time will tell.
Okay, thank you very much, Jacob Roebuck. Now, no one would disagree. Israel Folau is magic on the field.
2 feet, jump off the ground. He gets very symmetrical when he jumps.
He's
don't
just getting
waste
plenty
it
of possession. Big Phillips.
Is he? Is he Folau? Yes, he is. He's everywhere. That's a throw. Well, they thought that 29, he got too deep into the draft. Yeah. Now, when you look back at it, you say, he's back.
Guess who? Another good grab to Folau. He got 50.
Izzy Folau. He's played three codes of footy professionally. He's got a big connection to Brisbane as well. He attended Marsden State High School, played several seasons of junior rugby league at the Goodna Eagles in Goodna. He's a former Broncos player, a former Origin player for the Maroons, and a big role model. But yesterday on Brekkie, Jason Garrick, who is with the Brisbane Hustlers, they're a gay rugby team, he explained the impact of Israel Folau's tweets.
The comments that Israel have chosen to make are incredibly disrespectful. They're hurtful. And to be honest, it takes every single gay rugby player or inclusive rugby player back to that point in their lives where they actively chose to either not participate or to repress that side of themselves and that part of who they are as a human being from the world around them. So it's incredibly disrespectful and has no place in rugby at a grassroots level or at an elite level.
Jason Garrick there on Breakfast yesterday. So where does it leave you? Whose rights prevail in this? Is it the right to express your beliefs? Is it the right to freedom of religion, or is it the right to live without feeling persecuted? 1300 222 612. The calls are coming in. Introduce our speakers today. Bernard Gaynor is a member of the political party Australian Conservatives, a conservative Catholic, an Iraq war veteran, and is backing Israel Folau. Bernard, hello.
Hello, Emma.
Now, also interesting to hear today from the Tongan community. Reverend Marley Molatika is a Uniting Church minister at Highgate Hill. Marley, hello.
Hello, Emma.
And Peter Catt. Peter Catt is the Anglican Dean of Brisbane. He's president of a Progressive Christian Voice Australia. Peter, hello.
Good morning. Good to be with you, Emma.
I hope we're all on first-name basis too.
Indeed, yes.
Now, Marley, I wanted to start with you. How has this gone down with you, do you believe? How do you feel about Israel Folau's statements?
Firstly, Emma, I'm not voicing the UCA here. It is my opinion here, and I have asked permission from our Dominication office to go on with this interview. So this is my own opinion.
To hear it.
About the this thing this morning. Emma, we hear comments every time from radio, television, and everyone has opinions about their thoughts and ideas. So for me, this is a fair country. You can share your opinions. Israel Folau is entitled with his opinion. And I'm entitled with my own opinion. But you don't have to agree with everyone's opinion. So I know he's a great footballer. He's a great Christian voicing his conviction. But my point here, Emma, is that I think the comment is a bit too harsh. My point is that everyone needs repentance, not a particular group. That's where I'm coming from. To say that the gay community is doomed for hell, it's too much. It's not a fair comment. So I respect him from what he's saying, but for my own opinion, there should have been a fair comment like everyone to for hell, whether they gay or not, unless they repent. I think that's where I'm coming from. I want to make sure that that everyone is targeted, not a particular group, because to me, to say this to the gay community, it's unfair. That's where I am coming from, Emma.
Okay, and Marley, what if Israel Folau came to you with these beliefs, what would you counsel him? Or what counsel would you give him?
I will say to Israel Folau, I admire you, your conviction about your faith. But I mean, we don't have to particular degrading a particular group in order to, you know, to voice our faith. I am on the side of talking that everyone needs repentance, not a particular group. There are so many thousands of groups. Why picking the gay community for this comment?
Okay. Well, Marley, Brian in Tarragindi has texted in this view that Israel Folau specified homosexuality in his comment because that's the question that was put to him. All sinners will go to hell unless they repent. It's actually through love that he is warning people to change. If you looked in the ocean and saw a shark and warned others not to go swimming, would that be an act of hate? That's what he was trying to do, warn others of the dangers. What do you think of Brian's views there?
Yeah, I think it's true. I mean, he's warning people about the truth of the gospel. But what I'm saying here, that comment is not fair. You know, if someone comment Tongan people are down for hell because they are religious people, I'm sure, you know, the Tongans won't like it if that comment. My point here, the point is that we have to include everyone in our telling the good news, because the good news is for everyone. It's not for a particular group. The good news is for everyone, for the whole world.
And Marley, so, when you said there that you don't think the Tongan community would like what he said, so what impact would this public statement from, you know, such a much loved member of the Tongan community, what do you think it would have on people?
Yeah, I think, Emma, I don't really know. I know that there are people who supported him in that comment. I know that people liked on the Facebook about the comment. I don't know who, the people who don't like the comment, because I'm one of those. If you want to say, and the thing is, my two daughters really supported him for that. You know, they told me that we supported him. Of course, yes. You can support it, Israel Folau, for that. It's your opinion. What I'm seeing here, there's a little unfairness here in targeting just one group. Repentance for me, you know, for us as Christians, is a must. We believe that we have to repent of our sins. That's fair enough. That's really good. But to target just one group for that, it seems like that the only group that are going to hell is the gay community, which is wrong. That is the point that I'm trying to prove here. He's targeting a special group instead of the whole community, for everyone. You know, we need repentance for everyone.
Marley Molatika, it's great to hear from you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Reverend Marley Molatika is a Uniting Church minister at Highgate Hill, where there is a strong Tongan congregation. And as Marley said, he's expressing his own views there, not necessarily the church's views. We do have Peter Catt with us, the Anglican Dean of Brisbane. He's president of a progressive Christian voice in Australia. Peter Catt, generally, who do you think, whose right prevails? That's the question asking today. Is it the right to express your religious beliefs, or is it the right to live without feeling you are persecuted?
Thanks, Emma. That's a great question. I think the dilemma that we're facing is that Australia really has never had a deep and meaningful conversation about human rights and how we're going to honour human rights and protect them. We're one of the few countries in the world, democracies, that doesn't have a Bill of Rights. And so what tends to happen is we tend to have an issue like Israel Folau's comment hit the media, and then we have this flurry of conversation about whose rights prevail when we really don't have a backdrop.
What would you argue then? Would you have...
Well, my argument firstly is that as a country we need to really have a deep conversation about human rights and how they interplay, because even just setting it up as whose rights prevail is, I think, not going to advance the conversation, because human rights, all rights, are nestled and they have interplays. And so, we've heard in the during the marriage equality debate, we heard a lot of people advocating for freedom of speech, for instance, and on face value that sounds like an easy proposition to accept, and yet as a community we've also decided that kids on Facebook need to be protected from cyberbullying, which is just a form of people expressing their freedom of speech. If you want to give people an unfettered right that doesn't integrate with other rights,
would you put this down, this sort of statement, as a form of bullying?
Not particularly. I don't think I guess what I'm trying to argue for is that it's not just saying whether someone's got the freedom to express their religion versus the freedom of someone else to be protected from harm. As a community, we've never had the mature conversation about how these rights are nestled together, and how we're going to negotiate this territory in a pluralistic society where someone's deeply held religious belief is offensive to other people. And how we're going to negotiate that territory. Like, I thought Israel Folau's comment that was quoted earlier about how he said he wasn't going to vote for same-sex marriage, but he respected other people for their views and who they were, I thought that was a far more helpful way of framing it. And I think one of the things we're going to have to talk about in this complex of rights is how do we couch our conversation, knowing that we are actually speaking into a space where people may take offence at what we're saying, wanting to be honoured, want to be true to what we believe, but then we haven't even really defined what is religion. I mean, religion is a fairly nebulous substance, really, and the idea of some of the push at the moment to enshrine the right to freedom of religion is being done again without doing the groundwork of, so what is religion anyway?
Well, that might be a whole nother show, Peter.
Well,
I
indeed,
think.
Indeed. But this is part of the complexity, and with Israel, there's the added layer of the commodification of sports people and turning sport into brands and the interrelationship of that brand to the sponsors, which is another brand, and whether what right does a player have to their own opinion when they're part of an organisation that is trying to brand them and itself in a particular way. I mean, there's a whole complexity of conversation that I'd love Australia to get involved in.
Lots of big conversations. There's probably about a month's worth of programs for me, I think. Bernard Gaynor is a member of the Australian Conservatives political party, an Iraq war veteran, and Bernard was sacked as an army reservist a couple of years ago for his criticism of Defence Force policies aimed at reducing discrimination in the Defence Force. Bernard Gaynor, when it comes to rights, and you look at what Israel Folau has expressed publicly to his hundreds of thousands of followers, and now to more people through the media coverage, whose rights prevail?
Well, first of all, I'd just like to clarify that introduction. I wasn't sacked for criticising policies. I was sacked for upholding a policy that says defence should not be involved in political activity. But that's a whole separate issue. I think some of the introductory comments are quite interesting. Essentially, we heard from the captain of that gay rugby side that Israel should live in the closet and should not be entitled to express his views. So I think the whole context coming into this debate is a little bit hypocritical. Homosexuals might completely disagree with Israel Folau's views, and that's entirely up to them, but Israel should still be allowed to express them. And I find it rather interesting that Rugby Australia is now a religious organisation with views on the existence or otherwise of hell, able to issue dogmas and decrees about whether it exists or not. And, you know, Israel Folau could be excommunicated for expressing
his views. It's an organisation that has policies of inclusion, and one of its stars, who's on $1 million a year contract, has expressed views contrary to that. So aren't they within their rights as a business organisation to sanction him, which they haven't ruled out?
So he expressed a view on the existence of hell and who might be there, and Rugby Australia has said those views differ from their official position, which is a very religious position to take for a sporting organisation.
Mm. Okay, let's hear from Marjorie, who's called in from Heritage Park. Marjorie, what do you want to say?
Hello. I just wanted to say I belong to the same church as Israel Folau for 28 years, and I left the church about roughly 10 or 12 years ago because I didn't believe in what they were teaching. But on this subject, and I have a gay son, so the church doesn't teach that gay people are going to hell at all. That's coming from Israel.
Which church specifically is this, Marjorie?
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Mormonism.
Yep.
Yep. So I've got a daughter who's still in the church, and I've got my husband has a huge extended family that are still members of the church. And most of them have been just wonderful. I think I rang you once before and told you that there was one of my husband's brothers that thinks that all gay people are pedophiles.
Yes, I remember, Marjorie. And so what do you think then of Israel Folau's statements?
Oh, he's just talking through his boots. One of the other tenets of the church is that you don't work on the Sabbath, which he does. Well, you know, he's playing football on the Sunday. And so I think that people have the right to express their views, but not in a hurtful or, you know, derogatory way.
Okay. Well, Angus as well on Facebook, this is an interesting view to put to you both, Peter and Bernard. Angus says, Israel Folau's entitled to his beliefs. People are entitled to ridicule him for them. That's freedom of speech. But as a public figure, if he wants to put them forward, he's not immune from critique. And this is what I find intriguing from Angus as well. Let's not kid ourselves. If this was a Muslim athlete stating that a disobedient wife must be beaten, the religious freedom that so many are calling for would be replaced with calls to have him deported. So Bernard Gaynor, if he was a devout Muslim instead, with views that did not conform with the majority of society, what would your response be?
Well, I think it's instructive to talk about the law, and I have probably more understanding about this than most people in Australia. It is highly likely that Israel Folau's comments legally would constitute homosexual vilification in the state of New South Wales. He could well potentially face a fine of up to $100,000 if someone lodges a complaint against him for those comments.
But just to Angus's hypothesis.
So Israel expresses a view. People are entitled to express any other view in relation to that, whether they support him or ridicule him. I'm talking about the law. So Israel's views in relation to homosexuality may well constitute an offence under the New South Wales Anti-Discrimination Act and possibly against a number of other state acts. If someone expressed a view in relation to wife beating, whether they're Muslim or from another religion, that particular subject is not covered by any anti-discrimination law. So legally, Israel Folau could face legal sanction. A person expressing a view in relation to wife beating will not face any legal sanction. And this is where anti-discrimination law is really problematic. And it specifically targets, I think, people who express Christian views.
Okay, well, there's something to think about as well. But Peter Catt, on Angus's scenario that he puts forward there, sure. Do you think that there is an element of being, you know, this being different if he was of a different religion?
Oh, and we've certainly seen that in the past. I find it really intriguing that we are suddenly interested in protecting religious freedoms when the mainstream or some parts of Christianity, I mean, I think it's very important to realise there are people on, religious people on all, both sides of the, we're on both sides of the...
Well, I think we've got that today on Focus, yeah. Don't we?
Yeah, so. Indeed. So just to say that, you know, people are persecuted for having Christian views is not so. They're having a particular set of Christian, you know, a particular manifestation of it.
Okay.
But in the past, we've certainly seen people being very critical of Muslims expressing some of their religious beliefs, like their desire for halal meat has been, there's been threats to make that illegal. So I think we are in that state where there's a bit of religious privilege going on, and I think we need to really get down to having this really deep conversation about what is religious freedom, how does it stack up against a person's right to free speech. And I certainly agree with that idea that I think there's a sense that many people have is that they have the right to say anything they like and then not bear the consequences of it. And one of the consequences of expressing freedom of speech and freedom of religion is that other people are going to express their disagreement with you strongly. We've had Margaret Court claiming that she's been shut down, and yet her views are well publicised, and even her claim of being shut down has been publicised. I think what she's really complaining about is the fact that people are ridiculing her for her beliefs, which is part of how freedom of expression and freedom of religion and freedom of speech work. And that's what happens when we just see these rights as isolated and unfettered. But if we wanted to produce a mature society, we would be seeing how these rights nestle with each other, and how, you know, Margaret Court is just and Israel Folau are both also worthy of respect. So how do we enter into these issues in a more dialogical way when people do have firm beliefs?
Let's hear Olivia's firm belief, Peter. Olivia has called in from Ascot. What do you think, Olivia?
Look, I think that people should be able to have freedom of speech. And with Christianity, our faith and our belief has been around for thousands of years. It's not new. The LGBTI view is newer to our society. And I think as Christians, unless we are able to speak truth in what we believe, we are not really Christian. And our truth is to help people to get to heaven. It's not to condemn people, but it's to help people to get to heaven. And this is what I believe Israel Folau was trying to do. He was asked a specific question about gays. It was directed at him, and he was trying to give an answer from a biblical perspective, a Christian perspective, of what would happen to gay people. People who hold and live in that kind of lifestyle can't get to God's heaven, unfortunately, and that's what the Bible teaches, and it's not harsh, but if people don't know that and live in a false sense of security that no matter what you do in life and no matter how you live, you'll still get to heaven, that's not the true message of Christianity, unfortunately.
And okay, Peter Catt, are there? What do you think of that? The message of Christianity is you have to do certain things to get to heaven.
Well, that's the Old Testament certainly is absorbed with prescriptions. The New Testament is more about how if we enter into a loving relationship with God, and that if we exercise loving relationships, then we're going to be right with God. I mean, my understanding of the Christian faith is actually more about how we live in the now rather than focused on heaven, and that heaven will look after itself. I mean, it's not about getting a ticket to heaven. It's about becoming the person one is called best to be in this life, this unique life that we're given. We're all given one go at life, and being a person who is a peacemaker and a justice seeker and someone who creates a good community and builds great relationships is what I see at the heart of what Jesus was teaching. It's about how we live now.
There are other sort of prescriptive ideas from the Bible as well, aren't there? Sandra, for instance, on Facebook says that Israel Folau needs to remember, judge not lest you be judged, is also in the Bible. And then there's the whole Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, which is, you know, where do unto others as you would have them do unto you comes from. Mm. Bernard Gaynor, as a conservative Catholic, where do you sit on this?
Well, I think Peter is right. There is only one life that we've been given, and at the end of that life, we'll be judged, and we're going to go one way or the other. And you mentioned the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus made it pretty clear during that sermon that there is a hell. And so it's all well and good to talk about love, but love in relation to us and God is about sacrifice and doing what is right. And so, of course, there'll be all sorts of debates about what is right. And I think certainly Catholic teaching and most conservative teaching is pretty clear in relation to human sexuality, what is right and what is wrong. And Peter, I think, again, is also right when he says that only certain Christian views are persecuted. I think he's 100% right about that. If you're a progressive Christian who wants to campaign for same-sex marriage, I can guarantee you won't be brought before the Anti-Discrimination Tribunal of New South Wales or any other state. But I can tell you right now, if you wanted me to give an explanation, a detailed catechism explanation of the Catholic faith in relation to homosexuality, would actually be against the law to do that.
And it might take longer than the 23 minutes we've got left.
Only a couple sentences, but it's against the law to state it publicly.
John in Bribey Island, if we're talking about law as well, John's got another complication to put forward. Hello, John.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's happening?
Well, I'm going to take the whole religion bit out of the argument. If Israel Folau was suspended or put aside, he could then come back under the United Nations Human Rights Act for exclusion on the grounds of religious basis to the exclusion of all others, because that is illegal as well. And with Australia being a signatory to the UN, it raises more issues.
And it goes again to the issue of human rights there. Peter Catt, as you're calling for a bigger discussion around human rights, what about freedom of speech? There is a couple of comments here on our Facebook page as well. Cliff has said, as long as Israel Folau is prepared to be racially and religiously vilified in response, he's just as entitled to his opinion as anyone else. And then if I tell you what Michael has said, why should he be punished for offending a minority's opinion? Because he doesn't conform to society's norm, all of a sudden he should be punished? What if it's a religious view? We live in this country so we can supposedly express our opinion without backlash, but more and more lately this country is falling into the label of Australia, the free country, as long as you do what you're told or share the same opinion. How do we ensure, Peter Catt, that looking at human rights, that we protect diversity of opinion?
Well, that's actually one of the largest challenges Australia faces. As I said before, Australia doesn't have a Bill of Rights. And the other thing that Australia has tended to do is whilst it ratifies UN conventions, it doesn't import those conventions into Australian law. And so, you know, and issues as wide as refugees and Indigenous recognition and the like, we have signed a convention, but we haven't brought that convention into our own legal system. And so we have no mechanisms internally to explore whether those rights are being contravened or not. And so as a country, we our rights are very precarious, and the people who are arguing that we're in danger of being shut down unless we conform have a point in that there is no there's nowhere where an Australian can appeal to if their rights, if they feel like their rights are being contravened. So we have anti-discrimination legislation, which, as has been pointed out, does cover some territory. But as a nation, we haven't really engaged in human rights discourse or bought the mechanisms that would allow us to have some sort of process of ensuring our rights brought into our system. So we are very vulnerable at all levels. And, you know, that Facebook post that said, freedom of speech works both ways. If you hope to be able to express your religion, it's okay also for you to be racially vilified. That's how naked it becomes if we just see these as absolute rights.
And becomes quite full of hate, doesn't it?
Yeah, and we can hate each other, and we can all do, you know, we can do what Gandhi said, you know, an eye for an eye and we'll all be blind. You know, we can really beat each other up over these things. And so there is really an opportunity, I think, as after the marriage equality debate and issues like we're facing this week, for us to enter into a really rich dialogue. And that's why I'm really grateful that the Ruddock inquiry was set up to investigate whether Australia does need religious freedom legislation, and hopefully if it comes back and says that religious freedom needs to be protected, that should then turn into a much wider discourse about how we protect our right to freedom of speech,
okay,
but at the same time as not being vilified so that we, you know, so that cyberbullying doesn't flourish.
In Wynnum West, Trish has been listening. Trish, you've got a point on freedom of speech.
Well, while I totally disagree with what Israel said, he didn't randomly post. He was asked a direct question, and he answered honestly. And I've got two kids, and I've, since they were kids, I've taught them, you know, you don't just randomly give your opinion, but if you're asked a direct question, you answer it honestly.
Rugby Australia has said, was Raylene Castle in the press conference a couple of days ago, said that he's, Israel Folau, you know, after the discussion, said that he probably could have put a different spin on his beliefs. And also, this from Jackson on the Sunshine Coast. Israel Folau was hired for his physical prowess and skill on the rugby field. Why should he have the right to disparage an entire community when it has nothing to do with him or his role on the field? Leave the social commentary to experts and let the LGBTI community speak for itself. What do you think of that, Bernard Gaynor, that point there from Jackson in particular, that, and from Trish, you know, that he's answered honestly, but Jackson's saying, well, it's, you know, just stick to sport.
Sure. Well, I think Jackson is right in a sense. Israel Folau is not hired by Rugby Australia to express theological views. And so Rugby Australia really has got no role to play whatsoever in what Israel Folau's theological views are. It is absolutely outrageous that Rugby Australia, backed by the dollars, I guess, of an organisation that is now essentially buying religious views, can tell one of its players what he can and can't believe about heaven and hell and what he can express about those things. It's outrageous and absurd.
Well, what about this then from Kate? It goes to the same sort of point. Kate on ABC Brisbane's Facebook page says, the company I work for has a strict policy around what we can say on social media. Why should he be any different? Kate just goes on. If he wants to spout his opinion, do so on private profiles. The reason he has a public platform is because of his job. He should have to be in line with his employers, his sponsors, opinions and policy. This was hate speech. He has the right to his opinion, but his decision to share publicly should not be without consequence. So if you do have that profile of, what was it, 339,000 Instagram followers, 121,000 people on Twitter following him, you have that because you are an amazing athlete, not because you are an expert on the Bible or on social matters. So shouldn't he have to stick to football?
Well, I think this raises a really interesting topic of debate. And, you know, I've stated this publicly many times before. We now live in an age of political slavery, where if you want a job, you can only express the company line, even in your own free time. And this is not freedom. Israel Folau and anybody else should be able to express their views. And I don't think we are so stupid as a society to think automatically that Israel Folau's views represent Rugby Australia, because most people would think Rugby Australia is an organisation that looks after a sporting code, not a theological debate about the existence of heaven and hell.
But it pays him $1 million a year.
So what? It doesn't pay him $1 million a year to teach a certain theological view. Now, it would be entirely appropriate for Rugby Australia, if it was a religious organisation that didn't believe in hell, for instance, to say, well, Israel Folau, you've signed up and you're paid to express a certain religious view, and you've contravened those views, so therefore we're going to sack you. But he's paid to play rugby. He's been asked a direct question on his private profile, by the way. It's not a Rugby Australia profile, about the existence of heaven and hell.
Does he have two? I don't think he has two, though. He doesn't have one as a rugby player and one as Israel, the guy
That's right.
Where does he live now? Sydney? I don't know.
It's his private Instagram profile. It's not owned by Rugby Australia. And, I mean, this is how absurd it is. Let's say someone asked Israel that question and he said they're going to go to heaven. Would Rugby Australia put him in this position now? They wouldn't. So this highlights the fact that Rugby Australia is actually becoming a religious organisation where its doctrine and its dogmas can be bought by Alan Joyce at Qantas. I mean, there's this whole thing about religion and money. Well, we're seeing it right here. Rugby Australia is now a religious organisation that will express certain religious views based on the dollars it gets from a company.
It wouldn't necessarily even just be religious views, wouldn't it? It would have policies. Yes, Peter Kay, what do you want to say?
I was going to say, I don't think it's fair to say it's only about religion. I think one of the issues that is at play here is that we have commodified sports people and we have turned football codes into brands. And I suspect that if Israel Folau had also expressed, say, an opinion that was anarchic or attacked the way democracy worked, or made a statement about an extreme comment about environmentalism, I suspect the same kickback would have happened. And that's because what we now want of football players and other people with some degree of fame is we want them to be good role models for kiddies, and I'm not exactly sure what we mean by that, but that's one of the things we talk about. And then we want them to be really sort of like a bland backdrop against which advertising can be projected. And so I think one of the things is the pressures that is on all of these people is not to express political views or religious views, but to be a commodity that is controlled by the club and the brand and the sponsors and by the fan base, because we want them in order to generate the maximum amount of income, is we want them to have the broadest appeal possible, which means that all they really ask to do is play football.
And they don't it without reward, though, do they?
No, they certainly do. They get rewarded, but I think there's an issue there in terms of how much of a person they're allowed to be, and I think it's just muddying the waters to say this is about religion. I think this is actually an expression of how the economy works, and it's not about Rugby Australia suddenly being a religious organisation. It's about them wanting to keep their brand as the appeal of their brand as broad as possible. And I think it's actually muddying the water to say it's about religion, because it's not.
Is it more corporate slavery, Bernard Gaynor?
Well, I think Peter says they don't want them to express religious or political views. I completely disagree with that. They want them to express their religious and political views, whatever they may be, whether it's on climate change or refugee policy, whatever it is, they have to toe the line. And this is not just in Rugby Australia, it's in the ABC, it's in government departments, it's in big business. We live in an age, as I said, of political slavery, where you can have a job provided you toe the prevailing religious political views of the organisation.
I have no views at the ABC.
I just want to just finish on this point here just briefly. You know, Peter says it's about the broadest appeal possible. Well, you know, I wish it really was, because Rugby Australia has just turned off millions of conservative Christians and Catholics in this nation who support Israel Folau. Now, if they had said nothing, this would not have been the big media beat-up that it was. Homosexuals probably don't believe in hell for the most part anyway, so I don't know what they're really carrying on about to claim they're hurt by something they don't even believe in.
Well, they couldn't
in.
Really say nothing, could they? Because I think at least three of their sponsors, and the serious one being Qantas,
well, that's
have expressed concerns about it. So if you're looking at the money where so many things come back to, then they had to respond, didn't they? Peter Catt, did you want to come back to that?
I think that the idea of corporate slavery is one of the questions that needs to be explored here. And Bernard's right in that organisations do expect people to toe their particular line. That is one of the questions. And that comes back to this whole rights discourse that we haven't had as a country, and how we protect people. Like, there are no protections for people who are being required to toe a particular line, because we don't have those protections in Australia. And again, I'll just remind Bernard that there are gay Christians and lesbian Christians and trans Christians, and there are Christians on both sides of this conversation, and it's not about Christians versus the Rugby Australia. There will be lots of Christians who would be supporting Rugby Australia and would be horrified by Israel's comments. So, it's not about Christians versus others. And in the marriage equality debate, survey after survey showed that the vast majority of practicing Christians supported marriage equality.
Okay.
So, yeah.
This is Focus on ABC Radio Brisbane with 8 minutes to go. Probably get a couple more callers in here. If you've got something to say, we're talking about Israel Folau and his comments on social media when he was asked what will happen to people who are homosexual. He said they will go to hell unless they repent. And that has caused a storm. This conversation, broader than that, whose rights prevail? Is it the right to freedom of religion, to freedom of speech, to freedom to live without persecution? 1300 222 612 is the number. And to text, it's 0467 922 612. But give us a call. Bernard Gaynor is here. He's a member of the Australian Conservatives. He's a conservative Catholic. And Peter Catt is the Anglican Dean of Brisbane, president of a progressive Christian voice in Australia. If we were to look at sanctions for Israel Folau, there are sanctions for speaking out in Rugby Australia's policy against their policies. I think David Pocock, one of the players, has faced this previously for comments criticising coal seam gas exploration. What are your thoughts on sanctions, Bernard Gaynor?
Look, I wasn't aware of David Pocock's situation, and I probably would disagree maybe with his views, but again, I think it's absurd that Rugby Australia is taking sanctions against someone for expressing a view about mining. It's got nothing to do with rugby. And we're talking about what rights prevail here. Well, I think it's pretty clear the very fact we're talking about sanctions for Israel Folau for expressing a long-held normal Christian view in relation to morality, and it will be under some corporate anti-discrimination policy, which is based on Australian anti-discrimination law. We've reached a stage, and this is the real point, where the old saying, Catholics or conservative Christians need not apply, is now being institutionalised in corporate Australia, backed by Australian anti-discrimination laws. And that's a complete irony that these laws that are supposed to celebrate equality have led to this situation.
Mm-hmm. Peter Catt, do you think there should be sanctions for expressing a religious view that causes offence and hurt to a group of people?
I just think that shows the problem we've really got is how do we enter into a more dialogical exploration of the issues that face us rather than turning to sanctions, penalising people. One of the reasons as a country we've shied away from Bill of Rights is that we wanted to allow people's rights to flourish without it being curtailed by legal processes. And you know, our legal approach to things is adding a layer of unhelpful complexity. So,
and yet Bernard Gaynor's essentially saying that the anti-discrimination laws are impinging on human rights of some people.
Well, sometimes that's one of the reasons why we've shied away from legislation on the whole, because often there are unintended consequences. I think on the whole the Anti-Discrimination Act in Australia has worked really well and has actually protected vulnerable people. There are actually very, you know, during the marriage equality debate, there were all sorts of stories trailed out about the risks to religious freedom in Australia and freedom of speech. But most of those were, you know, like the Porteous case in Tasmania, that was resolved through conciliation, and the complainant really only took exception to one phrase in Bishop Porteous's letter to parents, and they came to an agreement over it. So yeah, there are much better ways to negotiate this territory than threatening people with sanctions. I think it would be much better to be inviting Israel Folau into a conversation with gay rugby players and to hear their life story and to actually enter into a process of conciliation rather than say, because you've said that, we're going to hit you with a stick. That's never changed anyone's mind on anything. It's actually engaging with people, hearing people's stories, learning the pain that one has caused through one's comments. I mean, often we say things thinking that we're just speaking some sort of objective truth without understanding how wounding the things we say are, and to have to enter into some sort of conciliatory process, which is what I would hope Australian rugby would do, so that Israel comes to some sense of how he might better express it. And he's already expressed that himself. Maybe there was a better way to express it. So
yes, and the Human Rights Commissioner has actually offered to give him some counselling on this. Look, I've got a couple of callers coming in.
Yeah.
But Bernard Gaynor, very quickly, you wanted to respond to that?
Yeah, sure. Like anyone who says anti-discrimination law in Australia is working well should have a good hard look at the facts. For instance, I'm facing $1.7 million worth in fines at the moment for my views on marriage. There is a Victorian grandmother facing the prospect of jail for her views on marriage. There's a disabled man in New South Wales also facing the prospect of jail. These anti-discrimination laws are oppressive and they're targeting Christians. And why should Israel Folau enter conciliation? That is just a nice way of saying we'll punish you with a feather duster rather than a stick. But if you don't accept the punishment with a feather duster, then we'll give you the stick. It's outrageous.
May in Seven Hills reckons he should... Sorry, Peter Catt. I'll just get May in Seven Hills up, because you do believe he should have some sanctions. You got 30 seconds, May.
Yeah, I do believe he should, because freedom of speech doesn't cover hate speech. And when you tell gay people that they're going to go to hell unless they repent, that is hate speech. It's making people severely unsafe. And we can't use religion as a a cover for that.
Okay.
On the view.
May, thank you very much. I'm glad we got to hear your views before the end of the show, and the hours come round very quickly there. Bernard Gaynor, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Emma.
And Peter Catt, the Anglican Dean of Brisbane. Appreciate your time too, Peter.
Thank you. It's been a great privilege. Thank you.
And this has been Focus. Thanks for your time today. The Facebook post is still up there if you want to leave your thoughts on this at ABC Brisbane on Facebook. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 10.
Hi, Quentin Hull here. It's our Commonwealth Games in our backyard, right here in Queensland. And we've got your ticket to the moments that will last a lifetime. Gold Coast 2018 on ABC Radio Brisbane.